All right, Tuesday night and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Just one little thing off of the pregame, just to reiterate points we've already made on the podcast before. When Tom Holman, former DHS interim like secretary at the border, he's talking about the previous record. I mean, just to put the numbers in perspective. And again, Biden has already topped this number because that's an older video. But the previous record at the border was 1.4 million illegal border invaders in a year. Joe Biden's first year in office, so that would be 2021, he allowed in 3.1 million illegals across the border. Of course, the argument is there's the terminology that you use to describe illegal border invaders. You're not allowed to say illegals, but you have to say undocumented. But just to put that in perspective, the previous number, the previous record, all-time record for illegal entries, well, illegal border encounters, which means illegal entries, was 1.4 million before Joe Biden. And then he, in his very first year in office, is 3.1 million. And the following year, he broke that record, which is 2022. And the following year, he broke that record, which is 2023. And he's on pace with 15,000 illegal border invaders per day crossing the border, illegally crossing the border this year to break that record. I always just want people to truly understand the numbers. When you had a long-standing record, 1.4 million is horrible, by the way. When you have Trump's worst was 948,000 in a year. And then his next year is 400,000. And Barack Obama averaged between 400,000 and 800,000 per year illegals into the country. And Joe Biden comes in and smashes all those records into oblivion. I mean, it's just always amazing to truly look at the numbers of what Joe Biden is allowed to happen at the southern border. But let's hop into this now. Of course, we had this congressional hearing all day today with Robert Hur up there, who's a special prosecutor. Who, by the way, just so everybody knows, I'm going to show you right now with an Ultra MAGA Party video, which is the best videos out there. So you got to follow them on social media, Ultra MAGA Party. Awesome videos. You see them all the time on this podcast. They always end with the imagery of a bald eagle. But Robert Hur was the special counsel assigned to the Biden documents case. Now, Biden, of course, is in possession of around 1,800 boxes, not documents, 1,850 boxes of illegal documents, many of them highly classified, compartmented. Compartmented means you have highly classified documents. Compartmented means you have to meet another criteria to read those highly classified documents, a whole nother level of classified documents. Many of them about military positioning, military information. A lot of them having to do with Ukraine, a lot of them having to do also with the Ukraine phone call to Donald Trump. That's weird, isn't it? But, I mean, Ukraine phone call between Zelensky and Donald Trump. So just really interesting on that. But, so you have Robert Hur, who has assigned this case. Now, again, I make this point as I made 500 times. I don't mean to be redundant, but you always kind of have to set the precedent whenever you re-enter into the same story, but now with a different angle, because we've never had Robert Hur testify before. We saw the release of his report, which was basically a summation of this. I'm stealing this from Bongino, but basically it was the summation of Robert Hur is either he was a incompetent criminal in that he didn't know he's such an incompetent human being that he's brain injured. People say it's dementia, whatever it may be, but he has no mental acuity at all, as we've all seen. But he was so mentally incompetent that he couldn't commit a crime. So that's one choice you have. So if he's too mentally incompetent to commit a crime, how is he mentally competent to be president? And Robert Hur said the reason why he wasn't charging him was because he's mentally incompetent. That basically he was a, quote, this is from the report, a well-meaning old man. Now, we might be thinking Robert Hur's a white hat and he's on our side. He is not. He was the apprentice of Rod Rosenstein. Rod Rosenstein, which you can see on this video, Rod Rosenstein was, of course, signed at least one of the, with the FISA court, he signed at least one of the fraudulent probable cause affidavits going into to get a warrant out of the FISA court to spy and wiretap Trump Tower, spy on Donald Trump via the Carter Page, all that stuff. So I could, again, all this stuff floats into my mind. I could talk about it for 30 minutes. I'm not going to do it. But to get the FISA warrants, he lied on their affidavits, Rod Rosenstein did, it also lied on there in that they were not including exculpatory material, which whenever you file an affidavit to get a warrant in the FISA court, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, you have to include all exculpatory evidence, all exculpatory information that's in reference to the person you're filing the warrant against. That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, it's not what you're supposed to do. It's what you're mandated by law to do, and you're committing a crime if you don't do it, the crime being perjury. So Rod Rosenstein is a criminal, and Robert Herr is his apprentice. So he comes across like, this guy went out and did a gotcha on Donald Trump. He's really not doing that, and I'll get into this in a minute, but I'm going to tell you what his motives are. Robert Herr is not a white hat. You're going to see him in the testimony. We're going to play it. He appears to be, all of them put on a veneer of sincerity. You'll see him when we talk about Brad Raffensperger in a couple minutes. They have this veneer of sincerity. Brad Raffensperger wrote a book about integrity. It's all basically, I'm just making up the title. You'll see in a minute, but it's all about integrity, which actually means in the inverted world that it's all about the lying that I do on a daily basis. So Robert Herr is not a white hat, but here's the explanation of it. Ultra MAGA Party video. All you need to know about Robert Herr. Play for me.
Now, why hasn't he been charged under this act? Why hasn't he?
Question for you, sir. What can you tell us about the status of the FBI's investigation of President Biden's classified documents found next to his Corvette in Delaware and those found at the Penn Biden Center? Do we have an update on that, sir?
What I can tell you is that there is an ongoing special counsel investigation led by Mr. Robert Herr, and we have FBI agents actively and aggressively with him on that case.
Director, any agents who served on the Crossfire Hurricane investigation or the Mueller investigation, are any of those agents on Mr. Herr or Mr. Smith's special counsel team?
I don't believe so, but I can't, on the top of my head, go through the list of, there's a lot of agents involved in the two investigations, and so let me check into that and see if there's any way we can get back to him there.
Which one of us is capable of the most deadpan expression?
I maintained my deadpan expression. It is hard to imagine the Justice Department without Rod Rosenstein. It is such a privilege to succeed you as United States Attorney for the District of Maryland. You've advised me that the most important thing I can do as U.S. Attorney is to hire good people. I followed that advice. We will continue to do our best to do the same. Thank you.
I'm here today to announce the appointment of Robert Herr as a special counsel. I am confident that Mr. Herr will carry out his responsibility in accordance with the highest traditions of this department.
Herr, special counsel, H-U-R. You know who Herr is? Rod Rosenstein's number one lawyer when Rod Rosenstein was the attorney general in charge of the Russiagate investigation, where Devin Nunes and I sent him a dozen subpoenas, and Rosenstein and Herr blockaded the response to those subpoenas because they wanted to cover up the corruption at the FBI and DOJ.
So you can see what this is all about. And again, I'm just going to tell you this. As I've been on this vein for a while, I don't know if I'll ever get off of it, but these are the people. That's the title of my mindset right now. These are the people who are in charge. These are the people who are in charge of the criminal justice system. These are the people that decide whether to prosecute or not to prosecute. These are the people, and you shift into the medical realm, that tell you to put on masks. These are the people that pimp and whore vaccinations. These are the people that tell you that things are safe and effective when they're absolutely not. And it's all lies. And you saw right there in that video, it's really a culmination of what I'm always telling you. And you, all of you already know this, 570 people that are on right now, you already know all this. So when I say I'm telling you, you already know, I'm just reiterating it and backing it up with video footage and tweets. But if you watch that video, there you have, of course, Bill Barr in the room. You've got now Robert Herr in the room, Rod Rosenstein in the room, who Robert Herr is now following. And that Robert Herr, how did Robert Herr get this job? Because he is best buds with Rod Rosenstein, who lied on the FISA applications. Rod Rosenstein lied on it, James Comey lied on it, and Andrew McCabe lied on it. They all lied on the FISA warrants to wiretap Trump Tower. That's an absolute fact. Absolute fact. Also in the room, of course, you got Christopher Wray, the FBI, and you notice they're just, and I'm sorry if you find this to be vulgar, they're all butt buddies in there. They're just absolute butt buddies. They got, and then Jeff Sessions there, who dutifully recused himself from the collusion investigation. He was hired as, or appointed as Donald Trump's attorney general, and then recuses himself so that Robert Mueller and Rod Rosenstein, Andrew McCabe and James Comey, and the rest of the FBI, you know, Strzok and Page and everybody else, can run wild. And he recused himself right when you need him most, because they're all in this together. Listen, people went to Jeff Sessions and say, listen, if you want a future in the Uniparty, and please understand what the Uniparty is. The Uniparty is simply, again, what I'm telling you, it is like a traveling road show. It's a traveling play where they put on a play for everybody to see, and there's parts to play in the play. That's all that it is. That's all that, when most Republicans are simply playing a part. They are occupying a position in the play. They are not conservatives. I mean, they can talk about the various appointments that are Republicans. So James Comey, he was a Republican. They're not Republicans. Jeff Sessions is not a Republican. But Tom, they say they do Republican things. They have to do an occasional Republican thing. You have Mitch McConnell has to nominate some justices. He has to appoint some. I mean, he has to get justices approved. He has to get federal court judges approved. Because if they don't on occasion act conservative, then we will vote them out. They do just enough that people think that they're conservatives, but they're not. And listen, it's not that they're not moderates. There are no moderates. There's no moderates. You're either left or you are right. You are right or you are wrong. They are playing a role. Jeff Sessions is just playing a role. And when they told him it is time for you to dutifully step aside from your role, because we're going to have you play the part of a conservative attorney general. You're like, yeah, but I've seen a conservative attorney generals, politicians do conservative things. But have you ever noticed that no matter who's in charge, we're $35 trillion in debt? You ever notice that nothing ever actually changes until Donald Trump came along and now he's facing 91 felony counts and 700 years in prison? From these exact same people, these are the people that make those prosecutorial decisions. And they told Jeff Sessions, simply just step aside, Jeff. And he did. He dutifully, of course, stepped aside. See, you and I, we refuse to do that. Like, you and I would never become a Democrat so that we could be a Republican operative inside of the Democratic Party, because it's too disgusting for us. But there are, most Republicans are actually Democrats. Again, credit Dan Bongino on that. Zero Democrats are actually Republicans. And they will gladly, whether it's Raffensperger, whether it's her, whether it's Mueller, whether it's Sessions, whether it's Graham, whether it's McConnell, Collins, Murkowski, Cornyn, Portman, anybody else you want to name, they will dutifully become Republicans so that they can hold Republican seats, they campaign as Republicans, and then legislate as Democrats. That's why, listen, we have to roll the dice. I know I've said this 500 times. Here's 501. That's why we have to run legitimate conservatives at the risk of losing, because if you don't elect a legitimate conservative and you have a Republican who legislates as a Democrat, what's the difference? What's the difference between a Democrat identifying as a Democrat and a Democrat identifying as a Republican when they both legislate as Democrats? What's the difference? But too often we're like, yeah, but if we elect these guys who are electable, then we own the House. Do we really own the House? Do we have a 6-3 majority in the Supreme Court or a 5-4 slim majority? Because of John Roberts, who litigates as a liberal, as a leftist. So he's a Republican. Well, what's the difference between having him and Sotomayor? Well, Tom, on occasion he comes our way. Yeah, on occasion he comes our way, but most of the time he doesn't. Because he still has to play a role. Of course, he doesn't have to worry, because he can never be voted out. All the rest of these guys, they have to play that role. And they fictitiously present themselves as Republicans and occasionally do conservative things and are always saying conservative things, but then they have backroom deals. Mike Johnson's no different. Mike Johnson campaigns, the Speaker of the House, campaigns as a right-winger, says right-wing things, claims to be an evangelical Christian, then legislates as a Democrat. We tell them exactly what we want. And Mike Johnson agreed to it. He said, you know what? If they don't close the border, there's no funding for anything else. Did he do that? No, he went in a backroom deal with Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden and came up with the latest omnibus package. They're about to pass another mini bus package, which is now hundreds of billions of dollars going nowhere. Does that ever benefit you in any way, shape, or form? No, it only benefits the Uniparty. And just understand how insidious the Uniparty is. They believe that they are the wisdom of the world. They believe they're smarter than everybody else. They're like, you know what? We know the right wingers and we know the left wingers, but we are the smart ones. And they're all leftards. So don't, please, they're not getting rid of any left wing tendencies, but they're all left wingers. Every last one of them, including, then you're like, Tom, aren't you Republican? Yeah, I'm a Republican. I'm voting down ballot Republican. Obviously in November, voting down ballot Republican. When the primary comes to Florida, I'm voting for Donald Trump. Make sure everybody gets out and votes, even though he's pretty much already secured the nomination. Get out and vote. But that's who Robert Hur is. And people think, oh, he's a white hat because he humiliated Joe Biden. No, that's what he had to do. Yeah, but he's being interrogated by Adam Schiff. That's his role in the play. That's his role in the play. He'll get interrogated by Adam Schiff, get attacked by Adam Schiff. Just like, remember Bill Barr? Bill Barr came and testified. Well, it was true that Trump was spied on. He had to do that or he's going to get voted out. So they'll acquiesce to some degree. I'm talking about Republicans who are actually Democrats. They'll acquiesce to some degree to the right-wing narrative. They will do that to some degree. But if you ever notice, when push comes to shove, i.e. John McCain, John, Obamacare or not, Affordable Care Act or not, John, thumbs up. Yeah, absolutely. Remember, he could have voted it down. He didn't do it. He is dutifully doing his role as a uniparty member. That's what John McCain does. And that's what Robert Hur is doing. How in the world is Joe Biden not criminally prosecuted for 1,850 boxes worth of classified documents that there's no, well, yeah, but you know, he could have been in righteous possession of those things, just like Donald Trump. Impossible. Donald Trump has an argument. By the way, it's lock solid that Donald Trump's completely innocent of any classified document breaches, completely innocent of all those charges. And that's the one that's being brought in Palm Beach, which is going to be thrown out to some degree. But anyway, Donald Trump, under the Presidential Records Act, and I'll just make this really as benign an argument as I can, and then I'll finish it strongly, but Donald Trump, at the very least, has the Presidential Records Act that says there is at least a chance that he could be in possession of classified compartmented documents legally. Joe Biden, it is impossible for him to be in possession of any of the documents in those 1,850 boxes of documents. Impossible. So how is he not criminally charged? Robert Hur, who the conservatives think is a white hat and humiliated Joe Biden, he had to do that to some degree or he'd be held to account. That's why you're seeing rats running from the ship right now, which you don't have time to get into. But that's what's happened. That's why you're seeing the retirements. That's why you see like Deborah Birx come out and say, I always knew the vaccinations were no good. I always knew it. That's why you're seeing the rats running from the ship right now. Benny Johnson video, special counsel Robert Hur. We identified evidence that President Biden willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency, which none of this, again, I was listening to one of my favorites the other night. They're saying President Joe Biden did the same thing as Donald Trump, but only Donald Trump's being charged. He didn't do the same thing as Donald Trump because Donald Trump's legally in possession of them and has a very legally viable argument that he was. There is no argument that Joe Biden could be in legal possession of these documents. Doesn't matter how he stored them. Doesn't matter whether it was in a lockbox. Doesn't matter if it's a secured skiff. He cannot be in legal possession of these documents in any way, shape, or form. So he didn't do the same thing. And it doesn't matter at the end of his vice presidency. As vice president, he couldn't be in legal possession of these documents. None of this matters. So here's the Benny Johnson video. Play for me.
My team and I conducted a thorough, independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. This evidence included an audio recorded conversation during which Mr. Biden told his ghostwriter that he had, quote, just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. When Mr. Biden said this, he was a private citizen speaking to his ghostwriter in his private rental home in Virginia.
Again, it doesn't matter. I guess Robert Hur, these allegedly really accomplished attorneys. Have you ever noticed these really accomplished attorneys have no idea what the law says? They actually do, but they ignore it. It's just like when James Comey came out and talked about the 30,000 deleted emails, bleach bit, bashed their cell phones from Hillary Clinton. This, the 30,000 subpoena documents that she deleted, subpoena documents that she bleach bit. Why would you bleach bit them? Why don't you just delete them? Because she had to make sure they're actually gone forever. And then they smashed up all their devices. And then, of course, you had members of Hillary's staff or whatever. They all willfully factory resetted all their phones where you have to enter in the password 16 straight times, the wrong password, 16 straight times, and it factory resets your phone. Did that all that too. None of them, of course, were prosecuted. But it he says right here, willfully retained. And oh yeah, Comey. So Comey goes, why am I not going to prosecute Hillary Clinton? These are congressionally subpoenaed emails on a government, actually a private server that was supposed to be a government server, which is each one of those documents is another felony count. Not charged at all. And why did Comey say it? Because there's no court in the land or there's no prosecutor in the land that would actually file these charges. How would he know? How would he know whether anybody would file them or not? So he just doesn't do it. And it's the same thing here with Robert Hur. He says, yes, willfully retained, which means what? He willfully retained. He knew exactly what he was doing. And it doesn't matter whether it was, and you see, Robert Hur doesn't know the law. When he became a private citizen, he was violating the law. He was committing numerous felony counts while he was vice president, holding onto these documents. He's not allowed to take them out of a secured skiff. It has now been proven that he took these documents, several of them, out of a secured skiff. So you just look how these guys, these uniparty members like Robert Hur, muddy the waters. He willfully retained them after leaving the office of the vice presidency. Doesn't matter whether he was vice president or not. He was never allowed to be in possession of any of these documents, not one of them. And, of course, so he says he willfully retained them all. Okay, where are the criminal counts? Oh, we're not going to criminally charge him because he is a well-meaning old man who doesn't have a good memory. So, but he's got access to the nuclear button. And there's a video audio recording him acknowledging that he has all these. And there's a video, it's all the same recording. And the person who made the recording, the author of Joe Biden's book, I mean, who would ever read that thing, who tried to delete the audio recording and they got it anyway. So where are the criminal charges against the author who tried to delete evidence? Again, nothing. There's an audio recording with Joe Biden admitting that he's in possession of the documents, admitting that they're downstairs in the basement. And and you have the special prosecutor saying he willfully retained documents he can never be in legal possession of. Where's the criminal charges? Oh, he's a well-meaning old man. I didn't know that was an exemption. So here's the thing. I guess so. For all the well-meaning old men pedophiles, that they're all now going to be criminally prosecuted for their sex crimes, right? Because they're well-meaning old men, right? It's well-meaning. Does that mean you're out now? You're driving your car. You're not paying any attention because you were singing a song. You were well-meaning. You just weren't paying attention. You ran somebody over. You were well-meaning. You just weren't paying attention. So that now exonerates you from vehicular homicide because you're well-meaning. You're just sitting there singing a song. So here's another one. Johnny Maga video. Robert Hur just bodied by Adam Schiff. Play for me.
His attorney falsely represented the FBI and grand jury that he did not have documents called for by the grand jury subpoena. You didn't find anything like that with respect to Mr. Biden, did you?
Congressman, I do not have the Trump indictment in front of me, but I need to address something that you said in your prior question. What you are suggesting is that I needed to provide a different version of my report that would be fit for public release. That is nowhere in the rules. I was to prepare a confidential report that was comprehensive and thorough of an
expert. What is in the rules?
And everyone will go, oh, he's our hero. No, he's not. And you're like, yeah, but Adam Schiff is our enemy. And of course, we're always thinking, the enemy is my friend. He's actually friends with Adam Schiff. You're like, no way. They just went out. That's the role. They're playing a part. He knows he's going to be attacked by Democrats. Those same Democrats that attack him will give him the next position and invite him to the next D.C. cesspool cocktail party. You're like, it's impossible. There could not be that much animus, and these people are all in it together. They are all in it together. I just showed you the video. You got Bill Barr, Rod Rosenstein, Christopher Wray, Jeff Sessions, and Robert Hur, all in the same room, all planning these things. Just like all of COVID was planned. These people are all doing this together in lockstep. There's people in those people not in the know, but you know, it's all, you're like, well, yeah, there's people that are leftards that are not in the know. Of course there are. There's pawns and there's kings and there's queens and there's rooks, but it's all the same game. And this guy here, Robert Hur knows, I've got to go in and take my battering from Democrats so that I appear to be a trustworthy member of the judiciary by the Republicans. See, they want us to, so that we leave him alone and that we don't go after him. Because he, listen, you need to be disbarred. You have 1,800 felony counts. That's a boxes, so there's way more. It's thousands of felony counts. He is not filing on any of those. He's not filing criminal charges against Joe Biden for any of his felonies. 1,800 boxes worth of classified documents, many of them compartmented military classified documents, in unsecured boxes in his garage at the Penn Biden Center in Chinatown. And nothing. Audio recording of him confessing. Nothing. Amazing, right? Robert Hur's a good guy because he humiliated Joe Biden, and then he gets attacked. It's just like everyone thinks James Comey, Hillary Clinton attacks James Comey. James Comey knows that. James Comey's made millions of dollars doing speeches since then. You listen, James, you just do your part. Hillary's going to attack you in public, but don't worry. We got you on the lecture circuit. You're set for life. That's how it works. They want certain people to appear to be good guys in our eyes, so that we don't attack them. We cannot let that happen. It's time to stop falling for it. Canico the Great video. Classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center. That's correct, says Robert Hur. This is good now. Here's a layout. Play for me.
Mr. Hur, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
And the elements of the crime for this, I mean, we get into all of this, but the elements of the crime are pretty simple, right? President Biden had unauthorized possession of a document, writing, or note. That's
correct.
And that the document, writing, or note related to national defense?
Correct.
And that the defendant, and we may talk about the willfully part here in a second, retained the document, writing, or note, and failed to deliver it to an employee or officer entitled to receive it.
Correct. There is a willfulness intent element, as you say.
But those are the elements of the crime.
Including the intent element, yes.
Yeah. And there are at least two different quotes, right, where he told his ghostwriter, and this is in your report, in a matter of fact, and this is February 16, 2017, that he had just found all this classified stuff downstairs.
He did make that statement that was captured on an audio recording.
And on April 10th, 2017, Biden read aloud a classified passage related to a 2015 meeting in the Situation Room.
That is in the report, yes.
And these are national security documents, Afghanistan, I mean, has been mentioned a whole bunch of those things, right?
Correct.
And at one point in time, his personal attorneys and the DOJ attorneys argued about notes, taking all of the different things and compared it to Reagan.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, Congressman?
President Biden's attorneys, personal attorneys, talked about the notes and why they didn't actually account for the Presidential Records Act. But you found that argument in your report. It seems a little persuasive, but you eventually said, no, the executive order trumps, right?
We did set forth an analysis of the governing law and ultimately concluded that the executive order 13526 does apply and did govern former Vice President Biden at the time.
So you have audio recording from his ghostwriter where the president acknowledges that the information he has is classified and he's sharing with his ghostwriter.
We have an audio recording capturing a statement from Mr. Biden saying to his ghostwriter in February of 2017, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote.
And then again, reciting passages from a meeting in the Situation Room.
Yes.
And those are in President Biden's own words.
Correct.
Right. So he's, and the ghostwriter has no classified, no classified clearance to anything, correct?
That is our understanding that Mr. Zwanitzer was not authorized to receive classified information.
Okay, so the elements are possessed documents, the documents related to national defense, and willfully retained those documents, and in this case, shared them with somebody who was not allowed to receive them.
There are different subsections of 18 U.S.C. 793. One subsection relates to the willful retention, and another relates to disclosure of national defense information.
Well, I mean, the willful retention, we've got the Penn Biden Center, the garage, the basement den, the main floor office, the third floor den, the University of Delaware, and the Biden Institute. We have a 50-year career of a person who has not been very great at dealing with classified documents throughout, even prior to his time as vice president, when he was in the U.S. Senate, right?
We do address each set of those documents in the report, Congressman.
So the difference, but I think this is really important, because the difference is it appears just from reading the report, he has been, and we heard all about exonerated and all of those different things. It appears from the report he met every actual element of the crime.
He appears to have met every element of the crime. If you ever notice, when Robert Hur gets questioned, like, did it meet this level, element? Did it meet this? He deflects and goes, well, there are many different subsections. He never actually answers the questions. Did it meet? Did you ever notice? He never answered any of that question. Did it meet every element of the crime? I'll give you an example for this. If you were to charge someone, as a cop myself, for all of you that are watching, most of you know this. As a cop myself for 25 years, right here in Sarasota County, Florida, 1992-2017. If you're going to charge somebody with burglary, there has to be an element. They have to have illegally entered somebody else's dwelling or curtilage and then committed a crime therein. You cannot charge somebody with burglary if they battered you in a public street. It would simply be battery. If they enter your house illegally and batter you, they get charged with burglary and battery because it meets the elements of a burglary charge. So when Robert Hur, alleged white hat, publicly acclaimed to be so by right-wingers because he humiliated Joe Biden, but never criminally charged him, which that is the role that he was asked to play. You're going to have to make Biden look bad, because if you don't, then the right-wingers are going to come after us for criminal charges. We're coming anyway. So here's the thing. So here's what he's asked. Classified documents. Congressman Armstrong asked him. Classified documents were found at the Ben Biden Center. Her. That's correct. Classified documents found they were found in President Biden's garage in Wilmington, Delaware. Yes. In the basement den? Yes. In the office? Yes. In his third floor den? Yes. At the University of Delaware? Yes. Boy, those are real secure locations, aren't they? You have military positioning documents in, let's just pick one, third floor den. Great. And who has access to that? Was Hunter Biden using them? Was he using them as leverage to secure his overseas business dealings with CEFC? Remember, I'm sitting here next to my daddy, and you need to send us the rest of the money. I digress. I'll spend 20 minutes on that. I'm not going to do it. At the University of Delaware, yes. And at the Biden Institute, correct. President Biden had unauthorized possession of classified documents, writings, and notes related to national defense. That's correct. Did he tell his ghostwriter on February 16, 2017, that he had just found all of his classified stuff downstairs? He did make that statement, and that was captured on an audio recording. And on April 10, 2017... Biden read aloud a classified passage. He read it aloud on the audio recording. Remember how they were all upset about Donald Trump saying that he had some map somewhere that he never showed anybody? And they all wanted to basically organize a lynch mob and charge him with treason? But Joe Biden actually went and retrieved the classified document and read it to somebody who has no clearance to read or see, has no top secret clearance to read or see classified documents. Joe Biden did him a favor, read it to him on an audio recording, and he's not criminally charged. Why? Because Robert Hur works for the globalist left. It doesn't matter that, but he humiliated Joe Biden. He had to do something to give himself an essence, a veneer of credibility. But his role is exonerate Joe Biden, but make Joe Biden look bad so the right wing doesn't come after us. It's all Goebbels propaganda is all that it is. And then when he's actually asked, Robert Hur's asked, this is how you know the person's a fraud. How would you answer this question? How would you answer it? It appears from the report that President Biden met every actual element of the crime. And what does Robert Hur answer? Well, there are many different subsections. No, answer the question. It doesn't matter about these subsections. It doesn't matter. Does he meet every element of the crime? Yes. Willfully retained. You have to be willfully retained. You can't unknowingly retain. Willfully retained. If you have 1,850 boxes of classified documents over a 50-year career, you have willfully retained. We got that. So what? Willfully retained classified documents. What else is there? Nothing. That's it. Criminally charged the man. He's not being criminally charged. Robert Hur is a shill for the Democratic Party. I don't know what he's registered as. A lot of these guys are registered as Republicans. You know, David Weiss, who's the one in charge of he's the press prosecutor under Hunter Biden, which I'm not going to time to get into that. They'll always say, he's a Republican. He's not a Republican. See, Democrats, leftards, are willing to don the Republican title. We won't because it's too disgusting for us. You know, imagine having to go and listen to AOC talk or go and cheer for AOC? They'll do it because they're political whores. You and I are not. They'll do anything. They will do anything to usher forward their corrupt agenda. And why would you want a corrupt agenda? Why would you want an agenda that you have to lie to get? It can't be that great if you have to lie to get it. MAGA War Room video, Rep. Matt Gaetz. Joe Biden said, I guarantee I did not share classified information. Play for me, Heather.
5 minutes.
February 8th, the White House. Question, Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The president, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Hur?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie. It's just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the next one. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right? Because what you put in your report was among the places Mr. Biden's lawyers found classified documents in the garage was a damaged open box. So here's what I'm understanding, right? As Mr. Armstrong laid out, you find in your report that the elements of a federal criminal violation are met, but then you apply this senile cooperator theory.
Senile cooperator theory. That was his assignment. Find him guilty of all that he did so that people don't come after us, but we're going to then say that, you know what, he's a well-meaning old man with a bad memory. How does that exonerate anybody? But that was what he was assigned to do. And you just have to look at the bold-faced lies of Joe Biden. He said, I did not share classified information with the ghostwriter. I guarantee you, because all these people, if you look at Robert Hur, if you look at Joe Biden, they have this air of sincerity. On my word as a Biden. Transition Integrity Project. They have this veneer of sincerity. Robert Hur, he appears sincere. He gets called out by Matt Gaetz and says, you know what, that means lying. And he has this sheepish smile. He appears to be humble. It's all a veneer. It's playing a part in this play. And you and I are the victims of it. We don't get anything out of the $35 trillion that they've used to personally enrich themselves. How is it personally enriching themselves? Personally enriching themselves through corporate donations, corporate investments, and everything else. And then they get all these high-dollar jobs for $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a year. All because they just sit there making backroom deals of what benefits them. What will benefit us? What can keep the swamp getting irrigated? How can we continue to irrigate the swamp so that all of us get these high-paying jobs, these corporate donations, these campaign finance donations that we use for our own, personal whims? We do, that's what it's really all about, because the love of money is the root of all evil. So Joe Biden says, I didn't share it with the ghostwriter. I guarantee you I didn't. I guarantee you I didn't. And then Joe Biden says, they're all in locked cabinets. Again, doesn't matter whether they're locked. Doesn't matter whether they're floating around in his Wahomath Beach pool. It's illegal for him to be in possession of them. Why is this man not prosecuting him? Because that's what he was assigned to do by Republicans and Democrats that are part of the Uniparty. Because they all sit there and they go, we know what's best for everybody. We're all leftards. We need to usher this leftard narrative and agenda forward in a palatable way so that we can all sit here and continue to personally profit as a capitalist while pushing socialism. All right, so change the subjects or I'll spend all night on it. I'm in between my bigger stories, and I got election fraud next. I put in some miscellaneous little, then I got Boeing after that. So I just threw together some little stories in between the big ones. Johnny Midnight video, I call this cabal food. What do you think of these people? Here's some more on Bill Gates. Do you think, this is brand new, brand spanking new. Do you think they have good intentions or are they trying to poison us? Johnny Midnight video, play for me, Heather.
And her husband, I believe his name is Orlando Bloom, bought the Bragg's Apple Cider Vinegar Company, and they have teamed up with Bill Gates and now are using his A-pill apples. Now, let me sort of educate the audience a little bit about what A-pill is, A-P-E-E-L. It uses monosaccharides and disaccharides, which are byproducts of all oil processing. Okay, so the byproducts of, you know, things like soybean oil, canola oil, which are very harmful to the body. And these byproducts are trans fats. This is really important. They're trans fats. Trans fats in most countries, all of Europe, are banned. And the reason why they're banned is because they cause coronary heart disease. What's your position as somebody who understands the land, respects the land, who is growing, showing people how to grow? What's your position on watching somebody buy this amount of land with that type of intention behind it?
So Orlando Bloom buys the Bragg's Apple Cider, whatever company. I hate all that crap, so I don't ever pay attention to it. What is it? Oh, apple cider vinegar. So he buys that, but now they're going to use Bill Gates's A-peel apples. What is an A-peel apple? What it is, it was a pretty good job in the video, but it wasn't great at the final description. A-peel is a sealant that they put on apples made of all the crap that he just described. So when they go and they peel these apples, all that crap that they put on the outside, of course, has gotten the inside. Not to mention when you peel it, all the stuff falls into whatever you're peeling it into also. So Orlando Bloom now partners with Bill Gates to use those apples for his apple cider vinegar. And these apples are absolutely corrupted with deadly chemicals. And Bill Gates allegedly wants to lower the Earth's population. Deadly chemicals will do that, like the deadly chemicals he puts in vaccines. Here's another one for you, Pelham. Speaking of Billy, just a little reminder with a new video. Bill Gates asked the Danish government to support DTP vaccination of 161 million African children. Play for me, Heather.
Unvaccinated populations, you won't do it. Let me just give you one quick other example. The most popular vaccine in the world is the DTP vaccine, diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. We got rid of it in this country because it was causing injuries, brain injuries, severe brain injuries, or death to one in every 300 children. We used it in the 80s, and that's why there was all this litigation against vaccine companies that precipitated the passage of the Vaccine Act that then gave them immunity from liability. But in Europe, they don't use it. In America, they don't use it. But we give it to 161 million African children a year. So Bill Gates asked the Danish government to support that program and said it saved 30 million lives. The Danish government said, show us the data. He wasn't able to. So they went to Africa and did their own studies. And they looked at 30 years of DTP data. And what they found shocked them all. They found that girls who got the DTP were dying at 10 times the rate of unvaccinated girls. But they were dying of things that nobody had ever associated with the vaccine. They were dying of diphtheria, of anemia, malaria, bilharzia, pulmonary disease, respiratory disease, and pneumonia. And nobody noticed for 30 years that it was the vaccinated girls and not the unvaccinated girls who were dying. And what had happened is these girls were not dying of diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. The vaccine had protected them against those, but it had also ruined their immune systems. And they were unable to defend themselves against other just minor diseases that other kids who had hardy immune systems were able to fend off.
This should sound very familiar to you, but the COVID vax is a double whammy. So you have the DTP vaccination, that I'm just going to call it for diphtheria, and vaccination that was given to 161 million kids per year. Woo! Imagine that. And the problem is, now what is one of the major side effects of the COVID-19 vaccination? People, listen, we talk about blood clots. We should. Talk about myo and pericarditis, and we should. Thrombosis, you know, which we should. Antibody-dependent enhancement syndrome, which we should, and I'll get to in a minute. But one of the things that is rarely talked about is the neuro injuries that are happening for the COVID-19 vaccination. Because you know what? God does things right. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God does things right. He doesn't need our interventions. Doesn't need it. So when they were injecting these millions upon, it's 160 million. I said millions is not an adequate description. 161 million kids per year with the DTP vaccination, they were having mass neural injuries. Same thing's happening with COVID-19, of course, because you're not supposed to be vaccinated with these horrid ingredients. The man who's coating apples with trans fats is the one, again, these people. These are the experts. These are the people that are informing you. These are the people that are telling you what steps to take and not take. These are the people telling you to mask. These people telling you to close down your churches and your businesses and stand 6 feet apart. These are the people. And all the Christians do exactly what they dutifully do, what they're told to do by their ideological and theological opponents. Amazing. Imagine calling up Adolf Hitler in World War II if you're Dwight D. Eisenhower and saying, hey, Adolf, what would you have us do next? That's what Christians do. That's what conservatives do. All the senators on the House, on the Senate floor, and all the congressmen and women on the House floor, all talking about, oh, no, we can come in now. We've made it safe via vaccination. We're wearing masks and we're vaccinated. You have dutifully done exactly, followed the orders. Follow the orders of your political opponents. Why would you do that? Why would you suddenly take the advice of a baby butcher, of a socialist, of a communist, of somebody who says that a woman's a man and a man's a woman, who lops off penises and breasts and testicles? Why would you suddenly take their advice? Because you're afraid of the societal consequences of not following it. So they caused these DTP vaccinations, caused mass brain injuries. That's one of the biggest statistical categories of the COVID vax that nobody talks about. And a side note, of course, and I'm going to tell you why the COVID vax is double whammy after this. Women who took the DTP vaccination, they were all surviving DTP, but they had ten times more likely to die of all other things. Why? Because they didn't have an immune system, which is the double whammy of COVID. COVID not only doesn't prevent you from getting COVID, COVID not only doesn't prevent you from being hospitalized with COVID, COVID not only doesn't prevent you from dying of COVID, COVID doesn't stop you from getting COVID at all. So people, and again, you've heard me give you the stats many, many times. In Australia alone, more people died of the least virulent variant than Alpha and Delta combined because they have ADE. So, and here's the thing. Here, you got to give DTP vaccination some credit. It stopped DTP. Killed you, and it was going to kill you. You were 10 times more likely to die, 10 times higher death rate than if you didn't take it, but at least it stopped DTP. COVID-19, you're far more likely to die 17 million excess deaths in 21, 22, and 23. You're far more likely to die after getting the vaccination, which, by the way, was the vaccine trial data, too, that they wanted to keep classified for 75 years because it's all lies. These are the people. But COVID-19 is a double whammy because at least DTP stopped DTP. You died of all the other things and we were 10 times more likely to die. But COVID-19 didn't even stop COVID and you're far more likely to die. Whatever the numbers truly are, we'll find out as history unfolds. Let's look at this one. Ultra MAGA Party switching again. Let's go to election fraud. Tom, you're all over the place. Yep, that's the design of the show tonight. Ultra MAGA Party video. Remember, that's who I said earlier. Follow these people. I don't know if it's male, female. I don't know if it's an organization or what, but they put out the best videos, best political videos out there. Ultra MAGA Party. Now, this corrupt scumbag has been officially caught lying. He's talking about Brad Raffensperger. Brad Raffensperger is who? The Secretary of State who runs all elections in the state of Georgia. Who did, as you've heard me say, if you watch this podcast all the time, you know what I'm about to tell you. But again, you have to set these stories up. You have to give the precedent. Brad Matt Raffensperger met in April of 2020, elections November of 2020. Met with who? Now, why would a Republican meet with this person? Because they are this person. Because they have the exact same ideology and political philosophy as the person they're meeting with. He met with Mark Elias. Mark Elias is who? An attorney with Perkins Coie. Perkins Coie is who? Perkins Coie has an office for the FBI in their office in Washington, D.C. Now, Perkins Coie, Hillary Clinton hires Perkins Coie. Perkins Coie hires Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS hires Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele hires Igor Danchenko, and they came up with the Steele dossier. that framed Donald Trump that was all lies. That's who Mark Elias is. Now, why on earth would the quote-unquote Republican who just got reelected, quote-unquote Republican Secretary of State, why would he be meeting with a Democratic Party attorney activist, a lying, perjurous, scumbag activist like Mark Elias? Why would he be doing that? Why would he be doing it? If he's not Mark Elias, if he's not the same person as Mark Elias, because he is. He is Mark Elias parading himself around as a Republican who doesn't legislate as a Republican, that doesn't litigate as a Republican, who doesn't mandate as a Republican, that doesn't orchestrate things as a Republican. He orchestrates everything as a leftist, but then campaigns as a right-winger and fools people into voting for him. That's who Brad Raffensperger is. Here's further explanation. Play for me, Heather.
What can you tell the American people about the integrity of the 2020 presidential election in the state of Georgia?
I would tell everyone our machines did not flip votes. We had safe, secure, honest elections, and the results are disappointing if you are a Republican, but those are the results.
Well, Brad Raffensperger has written a book. It's called Integrity Counts. And he joins me now. Mr. Raffensperger, welcome back to Meet the Press. Well, let me start with, you felt that he was threatening you with what?
At that time, I thought he may still have believed that he actually won the race, but we had run down every single allegation that was made. He said there was 10,000 dead people. He said that there were thousands of felons, and he said there were 66,000 underage voters. None of it ever was supported by the facts. And then obviously, when he called me an enemy of the people, that just ginned up his crowd. I would never really not follow the Constitution, not follow the law. I love my nation. My dad raised us to be patriotic Americans, and that's what I am.
He wrote a book about his efforts, too.
I want to really memorialize what exactly the facts were in the case, so I wrote Integrity Counts. Because at the end of the day, integrity counts, always has, always will.
You mean he was asking you to break the law, right?
Well, you can slice that, dice that any way you want. But at the end of the day, President Trump came up 11,800 votes short.
Reaching under tables and pulling out suitcases stuffed with ballots. Some of them were forced to evacuate over false alarms of a pipe burst.
They returned back to State Farm Arena at about 1 o'clock in the morning.
2,506 felons. 66,248 underage when the law requires 17 and a half years old. At least 2,423 individuals to vote who were not listed as registered.
And the examples continue to pile up from there.
I just want everybody out there to understand, this is a state that all the senior elected officials are Republicans.
What I've shown is that I'm going to be an impartial, you know, overseer of the elections in the state of Georgia. I don't look left, I don't look right as Secretary of State. I look right down the line of integrity.
And so finally you say, enough is enough. You're just making this stuff up.
Except it's not true. It now appears there actually was meaningful voter fraud in Fulton County, Georgia last November. That is not a conspiracy theory. It's true, factually. At least 36 batches of mail-in ballots from the November election were double-counted in Fulton County. That's a total of more than 4,000 votes. How is that not flat-out criminal fraud? We'd love to know, because it certainly sounds like flat-out criminal fraud.
And that really tells the big story of why President Trump did not carry the state of Georgia.
Without answers to legitimate questions like the ones we just posed, and those are legitimate questions, democracy dies. People begin to understand that the system they've been told is on the level is in fact rigged. And when they believe that, God knows what they do next.
Brad Raffensperger, are you definitely running for re-election?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're not deterred by the fact that the president decided to make you the fall guy for his inability to win the state of Georgia?
I did my job. I followed the law, followed the Constitution.
So he writes a book called Integrity Counts, which, of course, in the projection world, in the inverted world that we leave, that lead, he's saying that because he knows he has none. So he writes a book alleging that he has them, alleging that he has integrity, so that it covers for the very fact that Brad Raffensperger has no sincerity and no integrity at all. And of course, he has the veneer. If you notice, he speaks in a monotone voice. He has this veneer of impartial sincerity when he's meeting with Mark Elias prior to the 2020 election to make it impossible to adjudicate ballots on the night of the election. I don't have time to get into that, but that's what they were doing. So he says now, and notice that he was asked, are you breaking the law? Were you asked by Donald Trump to break the law? Well, thank you, Aaron. Chuck Todd asked him, Donald Trump, so Donald Trump was asking you to break the law. Chuck Todd asked Raffensperger. What was his response? Well, you can look at that in many ways. What are you talking about? Did he ask you to break the law or didn't he? He's being criminally prosecuted by Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade right now. because of his phone call, another phone call with Brad Raffensperger, where he was, it was for election interference. How do you interfere in an election that's already happened, for one thing? But, and it, so Chuck Todd, or did Donald Trump ask, you're saying that Donald Trump asked you to break the law. And Brad Raffensperger obfuscates and deflects and says, well, there are many different, you can look at that in many different ways. What does that even mean? Doesn't make any grammatical sense. Because he knows that Donald Trump didn't ask him to break the law. How did Donald Trump ask him to break the law? And just so everybody knows, this came out on Bannon's War Room, and I give due credit. I'm trying to remember who said it, but I give due credit if I could remember who said it. But now it's come out, and I can't remember the name of the politician, that well, staffer for Raffensperger, that they illegally recorded that phone call. Where's the criminal prosecutions? This is what we need not to forget. When we run the DOJ, when we get key positions, we don't get along and move along. We don't let bygones be bygones. The person who illegally recorded that phone call, not only illegally recorded the phone call as a Republican. Oh, wait, I thought these were all Republicans. They're not Republicans. And they're not rhinos. They're worse than rhinos. They're actually Democratic Party shills. Now, why would you as a Republican record a conversation illegally of Donald Trump talking to Raffensperger and then illegally release that illegal recording to the media? Why? You're a Republican. No, they're not. They're actually real-life Democrats. They love Democrats. You don't honestly think Brad Raffensperger voted for Donald Trump? You think Lindsey Graham votes for Donald Trump? McConnell? Portman? Cornyn? No, they vote for the reasonable Hive DC mind, which is what they consider, again, they just consider themselves to be wise above all of us Walmart smelly people. They're the know-it-all. They know everything. They're the wisdom class. They know nothing. They not only don't know anything, they're actually galactically stupid human beings. You just think about inflation. We have Mike Johnson going behind closed doors, coming up with these omnibus budget deals, again, behind closed doors with Chuck Schumer. Does he not realize he's bankrupting himself? But we won. We get the, you know what, we passed it. It's bipartisan. We won, or you're a Democrat. We fooled the Republicans into being bipartisan. We won. You're deflating your own currency still. Your dollar's still going to mean, my dollar means zero, your dollar means zero. But I digress. So Raffensperger says, quote, we ran down every allegation. Really? Did you run down any of these, Brad? Play for me, Heather.
Appellants voted illegally in Georgia. 66,248 underage and therefore ineligible people to illegally register to vote before their 17th birthday when the law requires 17 and a half years old. At least 2,423 individuals to vote who were not listed as registered. 1,043 individuals to cast ballots who had illegally registered to vote using a post office box. 4,926 individuals voted in Georgia who had registered to vote after their Georgia voter registration date, thereby canceling their Georgia voter registration. 10,315 or more individuals to vote who are deceased by the time of the election. 395 individuals to vote in Georgia who had cast ballots in another state, which is illegal in both states. 15,700 individuals to vote in Georgia who had filed a national change of address with the United States Postal Service prior to November 3rd, 2020. 40,279 individuals to vote who had moved across county lines at least 30 days prior to Election Day and who had failed to properly re-register to vote in their new county after moving, also in violation of Georgia law.
You're back to me. There you go. So did Brad Raffensperger run down? He said he ran down every allegation. He didn't run down one of those. He didn't run down. Remember what he said, too, is that Donald Trump said that there was 10,000 people that voted who are actually dead. That was, we never found any evidence that. Oops, 10,315 people died before the election, moron. So 10,000 people died before they could have ever voted. And Brad Raffensperger, for the record, says that Donald Trump said there was 10,000 people, 10,000 dead people voted, and that was completely erroneous. How is it completely erroneous when it's actually the exact fact? It was 10,315 people who were dead voted, but Brad Raffensperger ran down every allegation. He didn't run down the dead people allegation. And then give me Brad Raffensperger, give me one reasonable explanation for Ruby Freeman and her daughter, Shay Moss. Give me the reason why they're running the same ballots through the same machine over and over again. When we were told on a national basis that vote counting had stopped at Fulton County because of a water main break. Did you run down that allegation, Brad? He won't, because he's a Democrat. But he's a registered Republican who just won in a landslide, voted in by Republicans, because Republicans are being fooled into voting. They're galactically stupid. One of you, either fooled or galactically stupid for voting this person. Did he run down the 2,000 felons that illegally voted? 66,000 people under the age of 18 voted. That's illegal. 2,500 weren't registered at all that voted. 1,000 P.O. boxes voted. 5,000 voted past the regular date. That's illegal. 10,000 dead people voted. 395 people voted in two states. 15,000 people moved out of the state voted. That had moved out of the state voted. 40,000 people illegally changed counties then voted so they could vote in two counties. So you get two votes for Donald Trump. How many of those 130,000 votes down in a state that Donald Trump won by lost by 11,000? How many of those 130,000 illegal votes went for Donald Trump, do you think? Absolutely none. We all know that, but Brad Raffensperger ran down every allegation. He's a fraud. He's a Democrat. He's not just a Democrat, some innocuous Democrat either. He's a Democratic Party Mark Elias operative. People like conspiracy theory. He said he ran down every allegation. He didn't run down any of them. And the one allegation that he mentioned that was categorically false, according to him, was that 10,000 dead people voted. He didn't run that one down either, because it was proven that 10,000 dead people voted. And see, this is how it works too. Breitbart News tweet. This is how it works, just so everybody knows. Curtis Bashaw, a never-Trump Republican who donates to Democrats, this is why you have Breitbart News. This is why you have the Bongino Report. This is why you have Bannon's War Room. This is why you have the Gateway Pundit. This is the true news. This is what's actually happening. This is the truth. But we never know this. You would never know if somebody didn't delve into the donation records of Curtis Bashaw, who wants to be the next senator to take over Bob Menendez's, gold brick Bob. He wants to take over. We would all just think he's a Republican because we think he's a conservative, because he would come out and say conservative things. You know, I'm a fiscal conservative and I believe in lowering taxes and corporate tax rates and blah, 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 blah. He's not really a right winger. He's not even a Republican. He doesn't follow the Republican Party platform. He donates to Joe Biden, just like Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell do, and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and Portman and Joni Ernst and all the other ones you want to name. But they say these wonderful things. It doesn't matter. They don't legislate that way. They're saying those things because they know most people are low information voters and will go by these little sound bites. And we'll vote according to these sound bites, not how they actually legislate. So you have Breitbart News, who actually deep dives into a Republican candidate, Curtis Bashaw, a never Trump Republican, who donates to Democrats, seeks the Republican nomination to oust Senator Bob Menendez. So we come in, oh, we won. No, you just replaced Menendez with another Menendez. Oh, no, well, that's, yeah, but you're not in that district. You're not going to win if it's a legit conservative. All right, again, I just tell you, what's the difference then? If you have a Republican who quote unquote wins, but legislates as a leftard, then what's the point of voting him in? So you have a Republican that owns one of the 100 seats in the Senate. Who cares if he legislates as a Democrat? You might as well run the conservative and you lose. So you end up with a Democrat in there. Or you run the rhino Republican who wins and you end up with a Democrat in there. What's the point? Run conservatives. Get the base out. At least try. Because having these McConnells in here, these Grahams in here, these Portmans, these Rubios, these Ernsts, all of these people, Ben Sasse from the past, they legislate as Democrats. So run the legit conservative. This is how it works. A guy who, thank God for Breitbart, who is actually a left winger, is running as a Republican. That's what they do. We can't do it because we couldn't stand the stench of running as a left-winger. They can because they're going to go in and legislate as a left-winger. All right, Midas Gold. Let me talk about Midas Gold for 60 seconds. Midas Gold Group, my one and only sponsor. You can probably tell why I only have one and only sponsor, because I just say whatever comes to mind. Whatever's true is true. But Midas Gold Group, they are actually the epitome of what I'm talking about. See, they are legit. This is a legit company. This is a legit MAGA company, not a rhino company, not a company. I love to name some names because they're coming to my head right now. Some of them are in my head, some of them are not. Like that Razor company. Remember that came out, and then Black Rifle and all the they say that they're actually conservatives, but they're not. I'm not talking about Blackout Coffee on Bungie. I'm talking about Black Rifle. If you notice, they've kind of disappeared from conservative ads. Because they say they're conservatives until the pressure groups come on them, and then they instantly turn DEI. That is not this company. This is a MAGA company, not a Republican company, a MAGA company. They believe the election was rigged. They are pro-life. They're just like you and I. All of their gold is physical gold in your hands. Not these phantom gold accounts that you never see, that you can't get a hold of. You want physical gold, they have physical gold. Even their IRAs are actual physical gold. All of us need to have gold backing in the midst of this BRICS movement, in the midst of the de-dollarization of the globe, in the midst of devaluing the dollar around the globe. We need to have gold backing. And you need to buy it from the right company who will put the gold in your hands, physical gold, for you to put in your safe or whatever lockbox you have. Buy from Midas, and when you do, tell them that the TLP sent you. Let me show you this one, another one of my little clips, and then we're going to get into Boeing, which I still got to do Boeing, and I still got to get to Cassidy Hutchinson. Still got to do those. I got to get to those, because I promised, well, that was my ad, was to do Cassidy Hutchinson. I ended up putting it way back in the back, so I got to get to it. All right, so climate defiance video breaking. Now, why am I showing you this video? Because this is what has to happen. So you have climate defiance put this out. Breaking: we stormed Chevron CEO Mike Wirth's interview. Now, who's CEO Mike Wirth? He's a DEI advocate. He's an ESG advocate, environmental, social governance, diversity, equity, inclusion. Chevron couldn't be any more politically correct. They couldn't be any more leftist. Everybody thinks the Republican Party or conservatives are the party of mass global corporations. It's exactly the opposite. They're all left-wing. All of them are left-wing. I'm talking about the multinationals, multinational corporations. All of them, statistically speaking, where Elon Musk sits, he vacillates, right now leaning right. But on the whole, whether it's Bezos or Zuckerberg, multinational companies are all leftards. This guy's the same way, and leftards come for him. So what we need to do is allow this to happen. Once you and I are innocuous, we don't care what they say about us. We can't be victimized unless you care what they say. You don't wear a mask, so you want to kill grandma. I don't care what you think. You refuse to get vaccinated with a safe and effective vaccination. No, you mean the one that doesn't stop transmission and infection? And you're mandating it based on it stopping transmission and infection? You know what? Take your vaccine and shove it up your own rear end. You have to get to where you don't care about it. And then, see, you and I are no longer ground that they can cede. They can't get us anymore. So they then turn on their own. So here you have climate defiance, where it's a bunch of left-wing climate idiot activists, climate idiots, just like COVID idiots. So they turn on their own. This is a guy who's doing everything they want him to do. He's a DEI guy. He's an ESG guy. That's why you just let New York City just be a big giant pot of Cleveland stew. Let it just sit there. Let them just turn on each other. And that's exactly what happens in this video. Play for me.
Edward, we have a question. How do you sleep at night knowing you're a mass murderer?
Children are suffering at your hands, and you're here accepting a DEI award.
Chevron is also increasing offshore gas. gas drilling with Israel in the midst of a genocide against the Palestinian people. How do you sleep at night?
Chevron still owes billions of dollars in damages for poisoning the Ecuadorian grain
plant. Did you think it would be a good idea to invite this man here?
Mike lies, women die. Mike lies, women die.
That's good. So there you go. Now that's what you do. Just let them turn on themselves. Once you and I are no longer available because we don't give a crap what they say, you're polluting the planet. So I don't care what you think. CO2 doesn't matter to me. Shove it up your own rear end. Then they've got to turn on their own because they don't have anybody left to victimize. There's nowhere else to go because we don't care that they call us racist, xenophobic, transphobic. We don't care anymore. So they've got to turn on them. This guy, Mike Wirth, CEO of Chevron, he couldn't have bent over, spread his butt cheeks anymore for these people. There's no much more he can do outside of maybe get some clamps and spread it wider. That's not good enough for them. You and I, Aaron, Heather, Hope, we don't care. Shove it. We don't care. You can call me whatever you want. You're not really a Christian because you're not for lopping off penises. Oh, fine. Say what you want to say, idiot. I don't care. Yeah, you're exactly wrong. What makes me a Christian is I don't want penises lopped off. Let them say whatever. We don't care. Racist has no impact anymore. They've taken away. Even Nazi. They call us Nazis so often, it's lost all of its impact. So they have to turn on people who actually still care. Mike cares because he's trying to profit off of DEI and ESG. Good luck with that, Mike. Good luck. The only good part about it is maybe idiots like Mike Wirth will actually wake up and say, you know what? It doesn't work for me to constantly acquiesce and capitulate to these leftists. Acquiescing to them does absolutely nothing for me, except now I end up being almost criminally assaulted. Notice how violent they are. They claim that we're the violent. How are we violent? What right-wingers ever protest like that? Show me the videos. Show me the videos. You can't. All right, let me go on to Boeing. Here's Boeing now. Another DEI company, ESG company, couldn't bend over anymore, falling apart. Because at the end of all left-hard policies is destruction. Breaking by a Boeing whistleblower, John Barnett, has been found dead. Oh, what a shock. Whistleblower found dead. Had no suicidal ideation whatsoever in his life. Not one time did he ever express interest in suicide. In self-harm, depression, nothing. But now he's dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Weird. Again, another one. Another Vince Foster. Another one who suicides. I wonder if it's a double tap to the back of the head. Breaking Boeing whistleblower John Barnett has been found dead as a result of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Read the bottom part. The former Boeing employee, known for raising concerns about the firm's production standards, has been found dead in the U.S. Go to the next one for me, guys. So here's the thing. Just leave that up. So here he is. He's blowing the whistle. Now, the problem is that if he blows, this company is hemorrhaging money, so they can't afford to hemorrhage any more money. Why are they hemorrhaging money? Because of ESG and DEI and leftard mandates upon them so that they can be controlled. Why? They want to be controlled so they can shut down Boeing. The globalist left is trying to shut down Boeing so only they can fly. So you and I are in our 15-minute cities and our 800-square-foot apartments, unable to leave those 15-minute cities. We only get 10 swipe card, 10 exemptions per year that you use on your swipe card to get out of your 15-minute city. You're not allowed to fly anymore because Boeing doesn't exist anymore. Do the people at Boeing know this? No, because they're stupid. They're ignorant or stupid or some combination therein. These globalist leftists who push ESG, who whore DEI, are actually trying to close your business so that someone like me or you doesn't have the option to use their business. We're dutifully living in our 15-minute cities, 57 times vaccinated. We live to 51 years old, drop dead from ADE and blood clots. That's what they want. We serve them for our 50 years, and we drop dead while they're living much longer. Barnett worked for Boeing for 32 years and suddenly commits suicide. Weird. Until his retirement in 2017. In the days before his death, he had been giving evidence in a whistleblower lawsuit against the company. Police say the 62-year-old died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound on the 9th of March. Investigation remains open. Now we know that Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law is under investigation. Remember, was it his sister-in-law that died? Or I can't remember. I don't want to screw up that story. But there's a criminal investigation involving Mitch McConnell's in-laws in reference to the deaths of his other-in-laws that had started off as a suicide or an accidental death, and now it is it's a homicide investigation. I'll get you the facts on that. I should have done better before I brought it up. But anyway, that's what's going on. I'd give you the names, but I can't remember them right now because I didn't look too deep into it. I was hearing that on Bannon's War Room. So it's just weird how these things continue to happen. Key people end up with self-inflicted gunshot wounds all the time. The body counts for the Clintons and everybody else, which I'm not going to go too far into that because I'll just, you know, we don't have time because I still got to get to Cassie Hutchinson. Salty Goat video. This is the guy. So here he is, John Barnett. Does this guy look suicidal to you? Here he is on TMZ. Play it for me.
One, this is not a 737 problem. It's a Boeing problem. And I know the FAA's gone in and they've done due diligence and inspections to assure that the door plugs of the 737 are installed properly and the fasteners are torqued properly. But my concern is, what's the rest of the airplane? What's the rest of the condition of the airplane? And the reason my concern for that is, back in 2012, Boeing started removing inspection operations off their jobs. So it left the mechanics to buy off their own work. So what we're seeing with the door plug blowout is what I've seen with the rest of the airplane, as far as jobs not being completed properly, inspection steps being removed, issues being ignored. My concerns are with the 737 and the 787, because those programs have really embraced the theory that quality is overhead and non-value added. So those two programs have really put a strong effort into removing quality from the process. When I first started working at Charleston, I was in charge with pushing back defects to our suppliers. And what that meant was I'd take a group of inspectors and actually go to the supplier and inspect their product before they sent it in. Well, I'd taken a team of four inspectors to Spirit AeroSystems to inspect the 41 section before they sent it to Charleston. And we found 300 defects. Some of them were significant that needed engineering intervention. When I returned to Charleston, my senior manager told me that we had found too many defects and he was going to take the next trip. So the next trip he went on, he took two of my inspectors. And when they got back, they were given accolades for only finding 50 defects. So I pulled that inspector aside and I said, did Spirit really clean up their act that quick? That don't sound right. And she was mad. She said, no. Said the two inspectors were given 2 hours to inspect the whole 41 section and they were kicked off the airplane.
So you had Boeing removing inspection obligations and he actually found too many defects. So they replace them with company lackeys who won't find any defects that make you feel good about flying. And he was primarily concerned with 737s and 787s. Let me show you this. We're going to run these right in a row, guys. The next, four videos, just the defect videos. Nick Shorter video, just in United Airlines, Boeing 777 takes off with a major fuel leak. Play for me.
Charleston are assembling the company's flagship product, the 787 Dreamliner.
But this footage reveals some have little faith in the plane they build.
Did you fly on one?
No.
You won't fly on one. Did you fly on one of these planes?
No, not really.
Of 15 workers asked randomly, 10 said they would not fly on the Dreamliner.
I wouldn't fly on one of these planes because I see the quality of it going down around here.
An employee captured the footage after contacting Al Jazeera to tell us he had serious concerns about what he was seeing. At his request, we changed his voice.
With all the problems reported on the 787, there's 90% that's getting swept away, hushed up. It's an iceberg.
In another meeting, the source told us workers are often underskilled, uncaring, and in some cases on drugs.
I've seen a lot of things that should not go on at an airplane plant. People talking about doing drugs, looking for drugs.
It's all coke and painkillers and etc. We can get weed here. It's a really good weed here. They don't drug test nobody.
I know they don't.
There's people who go out there and lunch and go smoke one up.
Do they?
Hell yeah.
Over the in Charleston are assembling the company's.
After the dramatic mid-air blowout of a door panel in January, the FAA launched an audit of Boeing's 737 production process. Boeing failed 33 of 89 sections, including one dealing with the same type of door panel. The FAA also found 97 incidents of alleged noncompliance. The most common was failing to follow Boeing's own standards and practices. The audit comes as Boeing admitted to lawmakers last week it cannot find paperwork documenting repairs performed on that Alaska Airlines door panel, saying it is likely that it was never created. The NTSB investigation indicates the bolts holding that door in place were not reinstalled.
We will continue to increase our oversight to make sure the planes that are getting their airworthiness certificates are safe airplanes.
Is not having the paperwork on we took a door off and put it back on not enough of a red flag?
It is one of the factors that we're considering as we formulate a plan to get the quality assurance where it needs to be. There should be paperwork for that.
FAA Administrator Michael Whitaker.
It wasn't just paperwork issues. Sometimes it's order that work is done. Sometimes it's tool management. So it's really plant floor hygiene, if you will, and a variety of issues of that nature.
As first reported by the New York Times, FAA also looked at supplier Spirit AeroSystems, which makes the body of the 737 MAX. The company failed 7 of 13 sections of that audit. Inspectors flagged workers using a hotel key card to check a door seal and Dawn dish soap as a lubricant. Spirit tells CBS News it's working to address and incorporate lessons learned from the audit. Boeing today announced a series of changes it's making to improve its quality processes because of these findings, Nora.
Chris, I also want to...
And lo and behold, of course, the whistleblower who's testifying to all this thing decided to kill himself out of nowhere. Colin Rugg put this post out. Just in, a suicide note was allegedly found next to Boeing whistleblower John Barnett, who was found dead in his truck with a gun in his hand. Weird, because a lot of, if you people blow their brains out, the gun does not stay in your hand. A hotel staff member found Barnett after someone contacted the hotel for a wellness check on him. Barnett had his right pointer finger remaining in the trigger, which is almost impossible, with a gunshot wound near his right temple, according to the police report. It's almost as if someone wanted the gun. Last suicide that I worked in the Mayaca State Park, I found a guy who just shot himself in the head. His gun was actually nowhere near him, and he shot himself right in the head. That's how it went. It was not in his hand. It's near. I mean, come on, think about it. But if you wanted it to look like someone shot themselves in the head, what would you do? Put the gun back in their hand with his finger actually still on the trigger. Almost impossible for that to have happened. A white piece of paper that was closely resembled a note was on the passenger seat next to him. The contents of the note have not been released. Of course, Barnett's lawyers say there was no indication Barnett would take his life. John was in the midst of a deposition in his whistleblower retaliation case, which he wants to win, not kill himself. Why would you be in a whistleblower? So he's suing Boeing because they retaliated against him for being a whistleblower. Why would you kill yourself? You're about to win. Look at the report that they're using dish soap as a lubricant, not putting in bolts, which finally was nearing its end. So he was about to win. He was in very good spirits and really looking forward to putting this phase of his life behind him and moving on. We didn't see any indication he would take his own life. No one can believe it. We are devastated. We need more information about what happened to John. The Charleston police need to investigate this fully and accurately and tell the public what they found out. No detail can be left unturned. Eric, can you put up the stuff about Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law for me? There we go. I just wanted to get these facts right for you. I hate when I don't get things right. Angela Chow, a shipping industry CEO and sister-in-law to Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, died in Texas Ranch last month after her car went into a pond and became submerged in water. Oh, you can't get out of your car? For an extended period of time, the Wall Street Journal reported that has now been upgraded to a homicide investigation. I wonder what she knew. Because Mitch McConnell has been dealing with the CCP ever since he's been married to his wife. And his wife is the daughter of owners of a major shipping company who exclusively work for the CCP. If you're ever wondering why the CCP gets basically favored nation status with Mitch McConnell, because Mitch McConnell is personally profiting off of the CCP, off of CCP success. Let me show you this one. Lives of TikTok tweet, 4 minutes into overtime. You want me to keep going? Everybody want me to keep going? Let Aaron know I'm not looking at the chat tonight. I forgot my iPad, so I can't look at the chat. So talk to Aaron. Let him know if you want me to keep going. These are profiles. Now that we already had ones from Texas, now these are from New Jersey. These are profiles from the New Jersey inmate case. So almost like someone's trying to preach a narrative or establish a narrative. Does anyone notice a strange pattern happening here? Every one of these men in these pictures are listed as white. As if so you have white criminals instead of black criminals. So you look like maybe you have a white supremacist terrorist problem inside the United States of America. Weird. I mean, all these guys, this is their official records from the jails and prisons that they're in. They are all listed as white. Go to the next one for me. Unbiased crime report tweet. I'm currently auditing the entire country. It's much worse than you think. Here's Texas. Go to the next one for me. Here's Texas for you. All these guys are listed as white. And these, notice what it is. This is all sexual offenders. The Texas Public Sex Offender website. Thomas is white. The guy, I like that name, Innocent. That's interesting. Willie Lee Thomas. Luby Innocent is his name. All these guys are listed as white. Kind of weird. It's as if people are in on putting out a certain narrative, right? Why would they be listed as white? Well, you got to meet DEI standards, right? We got to have diversity, equity, inclusion in our prisons. So you better be listing black offenders as white, right? In other words, that's just part of the great white racism narrative. Because that's what's going on right now is racism against white people. All right, let's go to Cassidy Hutchinson. Here's her testimony, just so everybody knows. Oh, everyone says keep going. Aaron sent me a message. Everyone says keep going. So I'm going to keep going. We've got to do, Cassidy Hutchinson stuff anyway, so I got to do that. Cassidy Hutchinson, Monica Crowley video, lied about everything. Remember, this is what she said. I'll let her tell the story herself. Everything you're about to hear with the sincerity, with this innocence, with alleged humility, are all, listen, this woman is a pathological, nasty, wretched liar. Play for me, Heather.
Angry response to that. Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, "I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now." To which Bobby responded, "Sir, we have to go back to the West Wing." The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol." Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motion towards his clavicles.
And was Mr. Engel in the room as Mr.
Back to me. You're good. So there you go. Now she, of course, she's of course being questioned by Democratic Party shill Liz Cheney. Cassidy Hutchinson made all the rounds and was this leftard hero. And now it's all the truth has come out. Everything is a lie. COVID's a lie. Climate's a lie. The border's a lie. They say that it's a closed border. It's an open border. The economy is great is a lie. They're all liars. The vaccinations are lies. Transgenderism is a lie. It's all lies. Every last bit of it is lies. The bounty case, collusion, lies. All lies propagated, proliferated by leftards like Cassie Hutchinson, who is a registered Republican, who is actually a staffer in the Trump administration. And people attack Trump. Trump doesn't know. None of us knew it was like this. Some of you did. I didn't. 5-6 years ago, I didn't know. I thought George W. Bush was a conservative. He's a Democratic Party shill. Cassie Hutchinson now makes the rounds, and she's a hero for outing Donald Trump's violent behavior on 1/6, which not one thing she said was correct. How do we know this? Because the true testimony has now come out. Are they going to trot back out Cassie Hutchinson for mass apologies? Are any of these leftard media figures going to come out and say, we got it wrong? No, just like the COVID-caving pastors, the COVID-caving conservatives, and everybody else who's completely and totally wrong about COVID-19, about vaccinations and mitigations, not one of them has come out and said they're wrong. Not one. Only one I've ever seen come out and say they're wrong is Chip Roy, who's a congressman. Not pastors or preachers, all the rest of the people, they closed their churches for weeks, for months, and even some of them years. Completely and totally wrong. Now they're doing revisionist history. But I digress. So what's new about Cassidy Hutchinson? Well, here it is. Greg Price tweet. All came out today. Breaking. The driver of the beast. That's where Donald Trump is. That's the limo. On January 6th, testified to the J6 committee. How's this coming out? Because the J6 committee materials are not allowed to stay classified. They're coming out in the hearings. I don't know which person's doing, whether it's Comer or Jordan or anybody else. But this information is now coming out. Now, what's interesting about this, and I'll get to that in a minute, is why didn't you and I know this? Why was this not released to the public? Well, because the J6 committee wanted to keep all of their investigative material classified for 66 years. Why 66? I don't know. Maybe because it's too close to one number short of 666. I don't know. That's just a joke. The driver of the beast on January 6th testified to the J6 committee that President Trump never, never, never physically assaulted Secret Service agents or lunged for the steering wheel when they refused to take him to the cab. Who was this? The driver. Well, who's Cassie Hutchinson? Nobody. A low-level staffer sitting in the West Wing doing nothing. This was the chief claim that lying former White House aide Cassie Hutchinson made in her June 2026 testimony to the illegal, non-select J6 Select Committee. The transcript from the driver was also released by the J6 Committee. It was revealed today. The transcript from the driver was never released. Why is that? Because it would exonerate Donald Trump. This is how it all works. Anything that works for your narrative gets publicly released. Like, the various lying testimonies like Cassie Hutchinson and, Fanon and all the rest of Acriel, Gunnell, all the lying Capitol Hill police officers. That all gets released to the public, but not the exculpatory material, which the exculpatory material makes Fanon and Gunnell and Dunn who they really are. Bold-faced freaking liars, just like Cassie Hutchinson is. All right, let's go to the next one. Julie Kelly tweet, I know you'll be shocked to learn that National Review, again, a Republican conservative, I don't know what you call them, newspaper, they're more than a website, whatever they are, publisher, National Review, they call themselves conservative, but they're not, who called Cassie Hutchinson's testimony, this is what National Review, who again is allegedly a conservative publication, they called her conservative. Shouldn't they be critical? Because she's actually criticizing conservative? No, because they're not actually conservatives. They're fakes. So the National Review called Cassie Hutchinson's testimony spellbinding. Now it turns out she's a bold-faced liar. Shall we all wait with bated breath for the National Review to do a mass retraction? Spellbinding, compelling, stunning, riveting, devastating to Trump and warn things will never be the same after this. It is ignoring House report, exposing her lies. And just a little bottom side note, Tony Bobulinski is suing Cassie Hutchinson for defamation. That's what needs to happen. Forget about the protests and holding signs. Let's fund all of the judicial watches, all the liberty councils, and all the other conservative law firms, and let's get these people under oath. Let's get them litigated or prosecuted, whichever is applicable. There you go. Let's go to the next one. Bearded Vet video. This is stunning information. It's about a minute and 18 seconds long. January 6th committee hit evidence. John Solomon, play for me.
It is Russia collusion perfected, right? In 2015-16, it was the FBI misleading a court. By the time you get to 2023 and 2022, it's a Democrat Congress misleading the entire American public. They're literally saying a third-hand account by Cassidy Hutchinson, who did not witness anything in the presidential limo, is more credible than the driver of the limo, who was an eyewitness, who said nothing happened in the car, like Hutchinson testified. They hid the driver's testimony. They hid all of the evidence that showed that President Trump, just like I reported, because I had Capitol Police documents, offered 10,000 troops 3 days before January 6th to Washington, D.C. and the Capitol Police. They literally concocted a false story. And the way they did it was to affirm a testimony they knew was wrong and to hide, destroy, or transfer testimony that contradicted with their theories to it. We've seen this time and again, and I've said many times on your show, because no one got punished for Russia, the temptation to keep using Democrat-fueled, taxpayer-funded false stories is going to be great until someone pays a penalty. No one's paying a penalty. So the January 6th committee went ahead and misled the American people with millions of dollars of taxpayer money at their behest.
And all of that is a crime. Liz Cheney needs to be prosecuted. Adam Kinzinger needs to be prosecuted. Bernie Thompson, the chair of the Unselect Select Committee, he needs to be criminally prosecuted. These are all felonious crimes, and they are destroying public records. They are refusing to divulge information to select committee hearings that are actual select committee. These are criminal offenses. Liz Cheney needs to spend time in federal prison. So does Adam Kinzinger. You are not allowed to do these things where you have exculpatory material that is public information that you sequester and keep classified from the public, that you suppress from the public ever coming into knowledge of it. It is illegal. And they need to be criminally prosecuted for it. They knew it. They had this evidence that she was lying. They had. And what did they propagate? They had the evidence from the actual limo driver, from a Secret Service agent, that whatever Cassidy Hutchinson said was a bold-faced lie. They had that testimony. And what testimony? So who are you going to believe? The person that was in the limo or the person talking about people inside the limo? They had the actual testimony from the person driving the limo, and they sabotaged all that information. They suppressed all that information, and then they publicly endorsed the lies of Cassidy Hutchinson. The only information they released was Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony. Person wasn't even in the limo, and they suppressed the actual exculpatory information, exculpatory testimony. This person testified, by the way. The limo driver testified to the January 6th committee. And they took his testimony and they hid it from the public. That's how corrupt things really are. 17 minutes of overtime. That's it. Listen, stick around for the post game. It is awesome. It is awesome. You got to stick around for it. It's just all videos, not me talking anymore. Really appreciate 882 people still on, trying hard. McGroins, love you guys. You guys have increased my Twitter following a lot. Thank you for that. Love the McGroins. Love, I'm just an adamant follower of Dan Bongino and Bannon's War Room. Those are my two gateway pundit, or some of my main sources of information, along with many others like Benny Johnson and Ultra MAGA, and just a whole bunch of them. I won't have time to mention them all, but I really appreciate you guys trying to bust 1,000 on Rumble. We're going to get there. 882 right now. Got a little over 900 at one spot. We're trying to get there. Sometimes this stuff just gets old. People, they're tired of hearing it, take nights off, whatever it may be. But I love you all. Appreciate you all. Back here Thursday night at 8:30 for another 90 minutes, or tonight 108 minutes of fury. Really do appreciate you all. Stick around for the post game. See you Thursday night, 8:30. God bless you.
I don't know how people go to the church of perpetual false edification. I don't know how you deal with it. I mean, for me, it's got to be challenging. I couldn't go to a monotone church. a lukewarm church. I could never pull that off. And it's not really because of altruistic reasons or righteous reasons even. I'd be bored out of my mind. I would be bored out of my mind if I wasn't challenged. If there wasn't something that irritated me, I'm at the wrong church. I want something that, you know, I want something where I have to go, you know what, I'm going to go check that. I want to go see if that's really right. Because I don't feel like that could possibly be right. We've had people do that. They come back, they've ended up staying for years, because if you love the Bible, you won't be able to go anywhere else.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to tomlipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.